Our scripture this morning is Mark 14, 22 through 26. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
The Eucharist. It's the oldest rite in the church. These words from Mark were the earliest of the gospel words written, perhaps as early as 15 to 20 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. The latest gospel, John, does not really record the Last Supper. It records the evening and mentions the Passover meal. But in the Gospel of John, it's all taken up with the notion of Jesus girding himself with a towel and bending over and washing the feet of his disciples. In 1 Corinthians, where we get our words of institution, those words were written by Paul about the same time that Mark was writing his Gospel. The Eucharist. That word is comes from the Greek that literally means thanksgiving. It is Passover reinvented. It is the central event. That's why this table is in the middle of the chancel and not this pulpit. It is the central event in our common worship together. It is our story of origin as disciples. Once a year I go over this story with you because I think it's important. Two ministers, father and son, Thomas and Alexander Campbell. Thomas had come to the New World, and he was in the frontier, which was Pennsylvania, and he was preaching. He and Alexander had come out of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland, not just any Presbyterian Church of Scotland. They came out of the, and I have to arrange the words so I can get it all out at once. They came out of the Olite Anti-Burger Seceder Presbyterian Church of Glasgow. They were serious Presbyterians. And in that church, the Olite Anti-Burger Seceder Presbyterian Church of Glasgow, they were not allowed to provide the sacraments for anyone who was not baptized into the Olite Anti-Burger Seceder Presbyterian Church of Glasgow. Well, Thomas found himself on the frontier of America, and there weren't many members of the Olite Seceder Presbyterian Church of Glasgow close by. He thought it was both unfortunate and unchristian that he should withhold this sacrament, which was the center of his own worship experience, from all of the people he found on the frontier of the new country. And so he thought and thought and thought. At the same time, Alexander was in Scotland, his son. Alexander was having misgivings about the inability to withhold communion. Because in addition to not being able to give communion to anyone except those members of the Olight, Annie Burgers, the Cedar Presbyterian Church of Glasgow, one had to have been issued a communion token in order to receive communion. And that came from one of the elders, one of the bishops of the congregation. And that would testify that they were worthy to receive communion. One Sunday, one Lord's Day, Alexander had been granted the communion token because Alexander, oh, he was worthy. He was not only a member of the Olight, Annie Burgers, the Cedar Presbyterian Church of Glasgow, he was also studying for the ministry. But on that Sunday, he took that communion token, and having gotten up to the chancel, instead of receiving the communion from the elders, he took his communion token, put it down, and walked out. He didn't think that was a Christian way to be about providing the elements of the faith. He dreaded talking to his father, because his father was a minister in America. Thomas dreaded talking to his son because of what he had done, because his son was in the old country studying for the ministry. And so I would have loved to have heard that first conversation between the two of them. Oh, welcome, welcome home, son. I've got something important to tell you. No, father, I've got something important to tell you first. No, me first. No, mine is really more important. And they both told each other the same story, that they could no longer be a part of a church that withheld communion from believing Christians. And that's what started the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. It is our origin story. Providing the sacraments is who we are. The Thanksgiving table, this Thanksgiving table, this Eucharistic table, is our symbol to the world, is it not? When you look on any Christian Church Disciples of Christ sign or letterhead or card, what do you see? You see the chalice. Do you know why that funny looking cross on the chalice? It's the cross of St. Andrew, the saint of Scotland. It's a symbol of everything we believe as disciples of Christ. It is a symbol of giving thanks. I've got a confession to make. I have been thinking that blessed and blessed is a much overused word. I am so blessed. Bless you. Or the more southern, bless your heart. Now, that can mean bless your heart. Or it can mean bless your heart. That has been my curmudgeonly stance all this time. It's just an overused word. It loses its meaning somehow. I have rethought that. We are indeed a blessed, blessed people. It is our duty to pass that notion of giving thanks on to others. That's what we say in this table. That's what the sign on, that's what the emblem on the sign out front says. Thanksgiving is the first word that should be from our mouths every morning as we get up and every evening as we go to bed. This table is also the symbol of hospitality and welcome. In our own family, like yours, we have my great grandmother's dining table in our kitchen, and it just reminds me of my roots, where I came from, and the welcome that my grandmother gave to the world. The dining table is where most important decisions are made in the home. The dining table is where you receive others in times of happiness. The dining table is where you receive others in times of sadness or grief. The dining table is the place of hospitality and welcome, not just in our homes, but also in this place. It is a symbol of welcome. It's the welcoming point in almost every home. How sad is it that the very symbol of welcome in the church has become, over the centuries, a symbol of division within the church? You may not know it, but most of Christianity, and when I say most, that would be about 2/3 of Christianity at this very time, practices what would be called closed communion. In order for you to partake of the elements of Christ, you would have to be a member of the church at which you're attending. In fact, the very origins of the word in which this table was offered, it was the very origins of the word is mass. It was practiced as a mass in the early church and today. And that word, it's a form. It comes from the word missa, which means dismissal. And so all but the baptized members were dismissed when it came time for this. We are part of the international body of Christ, the international body that gets together every 4 years, I believe. And still within that body, there is not an agreement on the simple matter of coming together around the Lord's table. Oh, me. It's a symbol of community and welcome, and too often it's not practiced as such. At the very beginning, it was a symbol of sacrifice, was it not? Jesus brought a new meaning to a very ancient liturgy. He talked about his own body being given in sacrifice. And that's the way that the early church understood it. It was both a symbol of sacrifice and unity with Christ. In fact, in the early church, they began to understand it, and that's why the title for today's sermon is "The Mystery of the Eucharist," because it is a mysterious part of the liturgy. There is a word called transubstantiation in a big part of the church today. When the priest or the member, the bishop, blesses the sacraments, they literally are transubstantiated into the body and blood of Jesus in a very mystical, supernatural way. That is their truth, their way of worshiping, and I honor that. I understand it differently, in that I understand it as a deep and powerful and abiding symbol of the sacrifice. And at the same time, it is a symbol of the sacrifice of Christ. It is a symbol of the forgiveness of Christ. Think about that first table when Jesus and his followers were celebrating the Passover in that room. Jesus knew that one would betray him. Was that a supernatural knowledge, or was it just a being a keen student of human psychology? I'll take both. Whatever it was, Jesus knew that he was to be betrayed. And what happened when his betrayer came time for him to partake of the Passover? Did Jesus withhold it from him? No. No. The words were something like, "Do what you must do." But Judas was included in that feast of love. Do not ever feel that you are unworthy to come to the table. Because the real answer is that we are all unworthy of this holy meal. But thanks be to God that we have been blessed, oh, that word again, with a forgiveness that is real. This table is always here. It is always beckoning us to come, to be nourished, to accept the gift of grace, and to share the gift and grace of the bounty of God. And it is always here to welcome others to the table. That is our calling. Amen.